Before you think that I've lost my fashion sense, which I know is outstanding, I realize this is a fall color. So, but football starts next Saturday, so that's close enough for me. So, crimson and gray, only appropriate, I think, with Alabama kicking off 1 week from today, 7 o'clock Saturday night. So, just in case you were wondering. I have this this problem with eating healthy. You know, they have all these diets, Whole30 and Keto and Plato and Paleo and all these different diets. But my problem is I have these two voices in my head when I see something that I shouldn't eat. It's like if I see, you know, M&Ms, I have this voice that says, there's M&Ms, you should eat those. And then I have this other voice that says, you heard him, eat them. So that's my problem. Sometimes I think that doesn't have nothing to do with, this is where we're starting here, so transition. Some people think that they understand things, or they try to make you think that they understand things that nobody understands, like bitcoins. Have you heard of those? I have no idea what that is. I've read articles about it, but I can't understand it. Modern art. Have you seen that? Who can explain why modern art is considered art, right? The last of the Matrix movies. Did you see that? That was weird. I don't understand that. I don't think anybody understands that. The roundabout downtown where you drive, I don't think anybody understands how that works. Hashtags on social media. I don't get that. Sometimes I think people say they understand things, but they really don't. I'm a pretty simple fella. If I get some instructions, I want it to be simple. If I buy a bookshelf at Walmart, I want the page of instructions to be just to be in English. I want it to be like two pages and have big pictures on every page. That's how I do it. If you give me directions to get to the zoo in Nashville, don't tell me go north or south. Tell me to go left or right. Don't tell me turn at the Whole Foods store because I don't have any idea where the Whole Foods store is. Give me an exit number. Give me a mile marker. That's the way it works for me. Sometimes I get confused about my Christian life. I have questions about what it means to follow Jesus. I don't always know the right thing to do in some situations. I don't know the answers to people's questions. I don't know the answers to my own questions. Sometimes I want to do the right thing, but for some reason I just can't do it. Sometimes I don't want to do the wrong thing, but I end up doing it anyway. It's confusing to me. I have these questions. It seems like if God wanted us to get it right, he would make it easier, right? He would give us clearer directions. I mean, if he had wanted to give us an instruction book, he did not do a very good job. Let's just be honest. There's a lot of confusing stuff in here. This is it's difficult to figure out. So when we come to this story about Nicodemus, I think we kind of give him a break. I think he really wanted to know the truth. I mean, this is a guy who's a Pharisee, who's a leader of the Jews, who has spent his whole life studying the law and the Torah and the things that God had done. He was trying to figure out what it meant to be faithful. And so then he hears about Jesus, and he says to Jesus, "We know, we have heard what you have done." And so in John's gospel, we only have that record of two things that Jesus has done so far. The first one is he goes to this wedding and they run out of wine and he makes water into wine. Two people that we don't even know who they are, unimportant, off in this corner, kind of, and Jesus just kind of, you know, just being a nice guy kind of thing. Like he doesn't want the party to be ruined. He wants it to keep going. He doesn't want them to be embarrassed. And so he turns water into wine. And the other thing we have recorded is he goes to the temple and he turns over the tables and he takes out a whip and he runs people out of the temple saying that this is supposed to be a place of prayer, not a place to make money. And so Nicodemus has heard these two stories and he's trying to figure out who Jesus is because they don't make a lot of sense. It doesn't fit into the picture he has of what God is going to do. So he's trying to kind of figure out, is Jesus going to dance on the tables or turn over the tables? Is he here to upset things or to set things right? Is he here to fulfill the old story or to make everything brand new? And so he comes to Jesus, and he says, you know, he comes at night, and, you know, people give him a hard time about that, but I say give him a break. I think he really wants to know what the truth is. I think he's like me and like you. We want to figure this out. We want to get it right, but we get confused along the way sometime. So he comes to Jesus and he says, you know, teacher, rabbi, we know that you are from God. And Jesus' response, you know, is really weird, you know. What does it even mean, this thing that he says? You read, you know, if you've got the red letter edition, like all us real Christians have, then you can tell the part that Jesus says. So this is what he says. This is just his part. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. What does that mean, you know? I think Nicodemus was like us. We hear that and we think we know what it means, or we think we're supposed to know what that means. And so we all pretend like Jesus is making sense. And I think Jesus was kind of playing with Nicodemus a little bit in the same way that he plays with us a little bit. I think Jesus was saying, Nicodemus, it's a little more complicated than that. It's not that this knowing God and following his way for our life is a little more complicated than putting together a bookshelf from Walmart or finding the way to the zoo in Nashville. It's complicated. It's a little confusing. It's not a simple thing. But he invites us into this story. It's kind of like I heard somebody use this illustration one time. It's kind of like if a plant had to describe what life was like to a rock. You know, how could the plant describe to the rock what it meant to grow or to do photosynthesis or to take nutrients out of the ground? The rock would have no way of understanding that process. Or what if an animal, like a rat, had to explain life to a plant? And the whole idea of being able to move freely, you know, a plant is kind of rooted, doesn't get to move. Or what about fear that animals experience that plants don't? Or how you interact with each other the way animals do, with about predators and about cooperation and those kind of things that plants don't really understand. So there's this difference between their life experience. And then what's it like for us? How could we explain to an animal what life is like for us? I mean, all the decisions, this sense of responsibility, of integrity, of honor, that the experience of faithfulness, of betrayal, all these things that we experience as humans that are part of life, that animals don't experience in the same way. How can you explain to them about moral choices that we have to make? How can you explain to them about how excited it is when football season starts over, you know? There are just some things that this life form can't explain to this life form. And so this is God trying to explain to us what it's like to be Him and what it's like for us to experience the life He has for us. Jesus says to Nicodemus, you're just going to have to start over. I can't explain it in terms of the Old Testament. You see, if we look at the Old Testament, God has been trying to explain this to people all the way from the time of creation. He's tried to help them get the picture of who He is and what it's like. And very rarely do they get it right in the Old Testament. Most of the time, they mess it up. And I don't think it's just because they were evil or because their hearts were not good. I think sometimes they really wanted to do right, but they just couldn't figure it out, couldn't find that path. And so Jesus comes to say, yeah, this is the old story, but it's also brand new, that you have to be born again, that there's something new that has to happen to us. Nicodemus says, you're our teacher, so teach me. Give me the answers. Explain it to me. And Jesus says, It's not that simple. And Nicodemus says, tell me how this happens. I want to know the steps. I want to know the process. I want to understand exactly what I need to do in order that I can experience the life that God has for me, that I can have a relationship with Him. Two times, Nicodemus says, how does this happen? And sometimes I think we're tempted into that place where we want an explanation rather than we want relationship. Sometimes I think we're tempted into this place where we want certainty instead of trust. And so we can look at that on the negative side and say, well, you know, it's kind of confusing. And there's always this mystery about what it means to follow Jesus. Or maybe there's the positive side that says, you know, all those questions you have, maybe even our doubts, maybe that's okay. Maybe it's not the end of the world that we don't understand. Maybe when Jesus says it's complicated, it means that he knows what it's like for us to struggle to see and to find and to understand exactly what it looks like to be faithful to God. That he knows that you can't just explain that in simple terms. You can't just give clear directions about what that looks like or how it works out in our lives. So maybe we need to make room in our lives for those questions. Maybe trust, faith, is about making a place in our lives for authentic, genuine questions as much as it is about believing certain things about who God is or about what He wants. Maybe it's okay if I really am not sure about how to do this. Jesus says these really strange things about what that looks like. And one of the things He says is you have to be born again. And then He says to Nicodemus, are you surprised that I say to you that you have to be born again? And Nicodemus is kind of like, well, yeah, tell you the truth, I am. Because nobody has ever said that before. You read the Old Testament, and there was never a time in the Old Testament when they said, you know, following God is like being born again. There's never that picture, that image given in the Old Testament. Jesus is the first one who talks about it like that. And so I think He's maybe playing with Nicodemus a little bit. Yeah, this is brand new. This is a different way of experiencing the life of God in us. But we are invited to be born again. Now, that phrase has a lot of different connotations to it. And in my day, growing up in a conservative church, you were born again by going to the altar and saying a prayer, asking forgiveness for your sin, and asking Jesus into your heart, and you were born again. Like at the Billy Graham Crusades and at revivals, and, you know, I went to the altar probably 100 times trying to get that experience. And that's not to demean people who did experience relationship with God that way. I know a lot of people who that's how they stepped into faith, into relationship with God. But you know, the interesting thing about this is that Nicodemus doesn't make a decision in this conversation. For Nicodemus, it doesn't happen in just a moment. We kind of think about when you're born again that that's how it has to happen, that there has to be one moment where you know that you became a Christian. Some place, Saturday, when I was at camp, they used to sing this song, and you say it was on a Monday when I became a Christian or whatever, and on Monday, everybody who was saved on Monday, they stood up and sang. So I would just pick a day, because I didn't know, you know. But I didn't want to be the guy who sat through all 7 days, you know. You only got 7 choices. So toward the end of the week, I kind of said, well, it's now or never. So I would pick a day and pretend like that was it. But, you know, so if you asked me this morning, when did you become a Christian, I would say, you know, I'm really not sure. But I can tell you this, at this moment, in this place, my desire is to know Jesus better. And that I know that He lives in my life and that I am part of His story. And I think that's kind of what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus when He says that it's like the wind. You can't predict what it's going to do. And think about what God does in our lives. He is so unpredictable. And yeah, He's kind of weird in what He does because He is not like us. God does odd things. He surprises us. I have a quote here. This is my note. I can't memorize quotes, so this is it. This is from William Willimon, who is a Methodist theologian. He says, "You can't define this God or put this God in your pocket or on a leash and drag God around with you. Life with this God is an adventure. It's a journey. It's a leap into the unknown, an expectation that among even the most regular attendees among us, there will be surprises, jolts, and shocks. For that is our God at our God's best." That night, as Nicodemus talked with Jesus, he began with what he knew, and he ended with questions about what he did not know. He arrived fairly confident that he had a good grasp of who Jesus was. He left surprised, having been encountered and held by the mysterious, majestic Holy Spirit of God in the flesh. Sometimes we want certainty and we want answers. And God invites us into something better. Jesus said, you can participate and experience the kingdom of God. I'm not going to answer your questions. I can't. You can't explain it that simply. But I invite you into the kingdom of God. And sometimes we get this idea that the kingdom of heaven is then and there. It's for after we die. Jesus never talked about it like that. He always talked about it as a possibility of a life that we can experience here and now. That in this place, in this moment, we can experience the presence of God. We can feel the wind of the Holy Spirit blowing in our lives. It is like the wind. You can't control the wind, you know. We can build windmills and we can become sails. S-A-I-L. Is that how y'all say it here too? Sail? Anyway, sails that catch the wind and use it in our lives, but we don't control it. We can't decide how strong it's going to blow or when. And so we're tempted sometimes when we feel the wind of the Holy Spirit in our lives and we know that God is doing something, that we want to repeat that experience. We want that to happen all the time. But that's not how it works. God chooses when and where and how. And it is up to us to open our hearts, to throw up the sails, to be ready for when the Holy Spirit moves in our lives and in our hearts. It's interesting that John 3:16 follows this conversation. And we all know John 3:16. Probably the most important verse in the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that anybody who trusts him will have eternal life." And John, eternal life is the same thing as life of the kingdom. It's an invitation to trust God, to trust Jesus. And so John the evangelist, who lived with Jesus for 3 years, who saw him crucified, who talked to him after he was resurrected, John the evangelist, who lived through the early church and who wrote letters that we continue to read today, John the evangelist felt like after this conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, his best commentary on it was, "I can't give you answers. I just tell you to trust this Jesus. Trust him. When you have questions, when you have doubts, just be honest about who you are and where you are and trust that Jesus is seeking us. That Jesus came to seek and to find what was lost and to bring us back into relationship with God. That he is the way." How that happens, we don't know. We can't prescribe that for every person. But it happens as we put our trust in Jesus. As we believe him, that's the challenge for us, is to trust. When we got questions, when God doesn't do what we think he should do, when we're like Nicodemus and we've got questions but we want to find the answer, trust Jesus. Focus on him. Go back to this picture. He says, you know, "I'm going to show you earthly things because you can't understand heavenly things. Look at what I do and what I say, and out of that you will come to some understanding." You know, the story of Nicodemus doesn't end here in chapter 3. He doesn't really make a decision. He kind of just goes off and he disappears for a little while. But But in chapter 7, there's this discussion in the Sanhedrin about what to do about Jesus. And the majority appear to be saying, well, let's do away with him. He's causing trouble. Let's just get rid of him. And Nicodemus speaks up and he says, you know, we shouldn't condemn anybody until we've heard from them. We should give them a hearing. And so he's not really, you know, adamant about his faith in Jesus or his commitment to him, but he kind of stands up for him. I think he's beginning to realize that there's something about Jesus. And then in chapter 19, after Jesus has been crucified and he's dead and they're taking his body down, Nicodemus shows up and Joseph of Arimathea, and they take the body of Jesus. And it says that Nicodemus brings 75 pounds of spices to bury Jesus with. Now, I worked at the funeral home for 11 years, and while we didn't use spices, it appears to me like that's kind of overkill, you know. He's going to make sure that this body is preserved. But was he in for a surprise? This realization was dawning in Nicodemus's life. This seed was growing. And I can imagine that when he heard about this resurrection of Jesus, he didn't worry about wasting the spices, but he began to understand what it meant for Jesus to be who he said he was. And some of those questions and some of those answers came to him, not all of them, but enough of them. We have enough. Peter says later on, he says, everything we need for life and godliness, God has given to us in his word. There's enough here for us to follow, and God will reveal himself to us as we go along. So you can't really teach Jesus, but you can experience him when we follow him in faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for people like Nicodemus who honestly and earnestly want to find you. And we thank you for your word that reminds us that you are revealing yourself to us in Jesus. So help us to fix our eyes on him, even when we have questions, even when doubts arise, even when you do not do what we think you should or we wish you would. Help us, Father, to trust Jesus, to put our faith in him, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, we want to understand, but more than that, we want to participate in the kingdom. We want to have answers, but more than that, we want to be part of the story of how you save the world, of how you bring creation back to yourself. Father, we thank you for the seeds that have been planted in our hearts. And we ask that there will be this dawning of realization, that this truth will grow in us, and that we will find ourselves more and more attached to Jesus than ever before, and that we will find in us the winds of the Holy Spirit blowing, and that we will recognize where that Spirit is leading us and how we might be part of what you're doing as the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you that you find us where we are and you take us to where you want us to be. In Jesus' name.
Well, today I found myself.